Welcome back to another episode of Scouting 5, recapping scouting news from around the world for the week of December 14th, 2020. I'm Scouter Ken, and I'm once again recording from St. Albert, Alberta. And just a note before we get into this week's episode, this might well be the last Scouting Stuff episode that gets published for 2020. I'm not sure yet. Definitely going to be taking the next week off for Christmas. Might look at doing a Scouting 5 the week of the 28th, or maybe if I can get together with Colin, if he's not doing too much that week, might look at pushing out a full episode. But in case, just in case, this is the last Scouting Stuff, Scouting 5 episode of 2020, Merry Christmas to you and to your family and to your scout group. And I hope that 2021 is a much better, I don't necessarily want to say, I want to say better, a much better year for you than 2020 may well have been. All right, let's get on with the news. Oh, and please do stick around until the end of the episode. There's a special challenge that's been issued for Cub Scouts across Canada. And those of you who have Cub Scouts in other countries may also want to listen in. Of course, I guess I could have maybe picked a better lead story, but maybe we'll get the bad news out of the way first. And it's some rather grim news, unfortunately. Scouts Canada has confirmed that a person living in Erin, Ontario, now facing several sex-related charges involving someone under the age of 16, was a volunteer with Scouts Canada. Sean Michael Large was evidently a Scouts Canada volunteer from September 2013 until November of 2020. According to the Wellington County OPP, that's the Ontario Provincial Police, officers began investigating him in late August after a report of certain sex-related offenses that took place in the Erin, Ontario region in July. As a result of the investigation, the 41-year-old Mr. Large was charged with sexual assault of a person under the age of 16 and a host of other related crimes. The investigation is still active. The three charges are all related just to this single individual, Sean Large. And according to Scouts Canada, his membership in the organization was suspended immediately after the Ontario Provincial Police reached out. And of course, that membership has since been terminated. It's not clear from the news article whether the offenses that he's been charged for involved youth involved in scouting. Scouts in Salmon Arm, British Columbia, recently turned out to help stock the shelves at the Salvation Army Food Bank. On the weekend of December 4th, 5th, and 6th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., evidently each day, members of Scouts Canada, the 1st Salmon Arm Scout Group specifically, set themselves up outside the Walmart in Salmon Arm, collecting donations for the food bank, with the goal ultimately being to fill the bed of a long box truck by the end of the day on Sunday. And they also had a bin inside the store from earlier in the week for collecting donations. And of course, if you listen to Scouting 5 for any length of time, you'll have to pardon my daughter rushing up and down the stairs in the background there, evidently. Part of her online class is a scavenger hunt. But anyways, I digress. If you followed Scouting 5 for a while, you'll know that there is a tradition for many scout groups to fundraise by selling Christmas trees. And some of those scout groups, and also just other scout groups who don't do the tree sales, have a second fundraiser that follows on from the first, which is to say Christmas tree pickup after the Christmas holiday is over. So, for example, members of Scout Troop 387 in Somers, Connecticut, will happily come and collect your used Christmas tree. They'll be doing this on the weekends of January 2nd and 3rd, and then again on the 8th and 9th. They ask that, of course, you have all decorations removed from your tree and that it be placed outside your home. They will come and pick it up for a $10 fee. The aim of this particular fundraiser, in the case of the Scouts in Somers, is to raise funds for a once-in-a-lifetime 10-day canoeing and camping trip to the Boundary Waters Wilderness Area, which is between Minnesota and Canada, and also to replenish troop equipment and, you know, a few other scouting activities along the way. There may, however, be scout groups in your area, not just in Connecticut, that are holding similar fundraisers. So if you hear of any such thing, please do consider supporting the scout troop in your area by letting them take your tree off your hands. And while I haven't covered these news stories in a few weeks, this one was worth visiting just because it might be a history-making thing. Natalie Young Scout and Girl Scout in Louisville, Kentucky, has made history by becoming the first person in the state, possibly in America, I'm not sure about that second one, though, to earn the highest rank in both Girl Scouts and Scouts BSA. She joined the Girl Scouts in kindergarten and then, you know, obviously would have joined Scouts BSA a couple of years ago when they opened up membership to girls. But, of course, each movement has its top-tier award. We've talked about the Eagle Scout at length on this program, and we have also mentioned the Gold Award, which is the highest rank or highest award that can be achieved in Girl Scouts. And Miss Young has evidently achieved now both of those awards. For her Gold Award project, she made bookshelves for the Westport Early Childhood Center in Louisville, and they have removable sleeves that can be washed if the young learners get them dirty. And then her Eagle Scout project, you can go to Harrods Creek Park and find it there with the help of family and some of her fellow scouts. She built a bunch of picnic tables there so hikers and park goers could enjoy meals outdoors. She says that she's glad she picked an outdoor project because the pandemic made it important to have space for social distancing. So that is really, really cool. Congratulations to Miss Young and well done. The Sagamore Council of the Boy Scouts of America, in partnership with the St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church, which is in West Lafayette, Indiana, are keeping a global tradition alive, despite the pandemic. It's called the Peace Light of Bethlehem. I think we may have talked about it on Scouting 5 episodes in the past. Normally, the event is held, at least in West Lafayette, inside of St. Thomas Aquinas Church, which is on the campus of Purdue University there. This year, due to the pandemic, it'll take place in more of a drive-through fashion in the church's parking lot. It takes place this coming Saturday from 7 to 9 p.m. People can drive in, and they will receive the peace light when they arrive at a little table that'll be set up there. They'll also receive a printed program with scripture, songs, prayer, and other components to enjoy while in their car or at home. Scouts and guides, for their part, can take the light on to other houses of worship, to hospitals, homeless shelters, nursing homes, prisons, places of public and cultural and political importance, really to anybody who appreciates the significance of the gift. The Peace Light from Bethlehem campaign, just in case you've never heard of it before, was organized first in 1986 by the Austrian broadcasting company ORZ, and it was part of a large charitable relief mission called Light into Darkness for children in need in Austria and abroad. Each year, a child from Austria, Upper Austria, fetches the light from a grotto in Bethlehem, and the light is then flown to Austria, where it's distributed at a service of dedication to delegations from across Europe, who then take it back with a message of peace to their own countries, and for use at ecumenical services across the continent. It was first introduced to America in 2001, funnily enough, by Canadian scouts who brought it to Ground Zero in New York. And then in 2002, DHL got in on things, delivering the Peace Light as a gift from Belgian scouts and guides to the Boy Scouts of America in New York. This year, the light was taken from the Eternal Flame in Bethlehem. It arrived in the United States at JFK International Airport, and it will travel across North America in the days and weeks to come. Scouters and scouts associated with the Boy Scouts of America and also Girl Scouts will be transferring the light across the United States and sharing it with their communities. Moving across the pond, an asset transfer request from the Inverary Scouts to take over land next to its base of operations in their community has been granted by town councillors. The group lodged a request with the Aberdeenshire Council, this in Scotland, in August, for land which is situated along Victoria Street in Inverary. The area committee assessed the asset transfer at its meeting on Tuesday and ruled, based on the fact that the scout group had informal access to the area and its playing field prior to this request, that they would in fact grant it. So, really, really cool. Definitely a feather in the cap of the scouts in the area to now have this land formally appointed to them for their use. And finally, a couple of days ago this week, a groundbreaking new global youth mobilization was launched by the World Health Organization to scale up youth-led solutions and engagements in response to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. I shouldn't say that it was launched entirely by the World Health Organization before, because it was actually launched by a partnership between the WHO, the United Nations Foundations, and the Big Six youth organizations. The Young Men's Christian Association, YMCA, the World Young Women's Christians Association, YWCA, the World Organization for the Scout Movement, the World Association of Girl Guides and Girl Scouts, the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies, and the Duke of Edinburgh's International Award. Together, those six groups involve more than 250 million people, young people, worldwide. And the ultimate aim of this initiative is to support young people as they engage in and design efforts to turn around the impact of the pandemic. The mobilization will feature a convening of a global youth summit in April of 2021 and has been granted a fund of $5 million to support local and national youth organizations, including grants for youth-led solutions and an accelerator program to scale up existing response efforts that these youth organizations have put in place locally in different countries. Right, I promised that there would be a special challenge at the end of the episode, and here it is. This comes from, well, you know what? I'll let him introduce himself.
Hello, it's Bagheera with the 36 Ottawa Cubs, and it's too easy in winter just to end up sitting in the house, escaping the cold and the dark, but we're challenging Cubs across Canada to get out there and hike 50 kilometers, ski cross-country 100 kilometers, skate 75 kilometers, or bike 200 kilometers before March 31st. Take advantage of our beautiful winters and the fact that there's no mosquitoes to get out and have fun. Don't forget to prepare yourselves, look at the weather forecast, plan out your routes, dress appropriately, carry along extra clothing, snacks, water, and anything else you might need. Don't forget your first aid kits. Bye.
And that is all the news I have for you this week, and possibly for the rest of the year. Thank you again for listening, and until we speak again, be prepared.